The Old Testament reading is from Judges 16, verses 21 through 31. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. And he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, and they said, "Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hand, the ravager of our country, who has killed many of us." And when their hearts were merry, they said, "Call Samson, that he may entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he entertained them. They made him stand between the pillars. And Samson said to the young men who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them." Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistine were there. And on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson entertained. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, please remember me, and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistine." Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life. Then his brothers and all his family came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had judged Israel 20 years. The word of the Lord.
From your sister school, Wheaton College, where Jesus is Lord and King. Amen? There's a couple Wheaties in the house, so watch what you say. I brought my amens with me, all right? There's a text on my heart that's been burning, and I'd like to share it with you today. And from the passage, thank you, Sister Kay, for reading that for us in Judges chapter 16. Family, today, I came to tell you something that I believe just might change your life. And that's that God does his best work in broken places. In fact, when you think it's over, God says, "I'm just getting started." When you feel forgotten, God still whispers, "I see you." When your strength is gone, your name is stained, your story seems too messy to fix, God says, "If you'll surrender, I'll step in." Today we come to the end of Samson's story. And I need you to lean in close today, because this ain't just a story about strength. It's a story about grace. This is the sermon, I believe, family, where we can stop pretending. This is the day where we can quit trying to be strong on our own. Why? Because real power, real breakthrough, it comes not in standing tall, but in kneeling low. This message is called Strength in Surrender. So let's examine today Samson's reality, Samson's restoration, and Samson's redemption. Walk around this text with me. If you brought one amen, drop it in the right place, all right? Verse 21, if you keep your Bibles open, I want to waddle in the passage so you know I'm not making it up, I'm looking it up. In 21, the text says, "Then the Philistines, they took him and they put out his eyes. And they brought him down to Gaza. They bound him there with bronze fetters. And he became a grinder in the prison." Family, when we come to this first pericope of the text, You and I get to see what happened to Samson and how hard of a fall the man of God had suffered. His recourse for disobeying God has led to this great calamity. For example, Brother JT, he fell for the wrong woman. He failed to obey God. He failed to pay attention to the flesh. He failed to check his pride. There's more. Can you handle it? He failed to flee from temptation. He played with the enemy. And as a result of his failure, he woke up bald, blind, and bound. The Philistines had taken everything. They took his strength. They took his freedom. They took his hair, his dignity, his man card, his ministry. They gouged out his eyes, and then they threw him into prison. And he became a grinder in the mill, walking in circles, grinding grain. A grinding grain, rather, like a slave. What a tragedy. Dr. King, the once invincible man of God, has been reduced to a slave grinding in the prison. Picture that. The man who once tore lions in half is now chained to a post. The man who once killed 1,000 men with a jawbone is now laughed at by his enemies. But here's what I love about this text. God doesn't throw him away. No, it was the great Charles Spurgeon who once warned young preachers that a man may preach eloquently and yet perish miserably if he doesn't watch for his own soul. He said the greatest danger to the minister is not persecution from without, but it's corruption from within. Spurgeon went on to say, here is a man anointed by God, but careless with holiness. See, Samson didn't lose his strength in one night. He lost it strand by strand. Every compromise clipped a little more of his consecration. Every flirtation with sin dulled his spiritual eyesight. Spurgeon said this was no accident. No, he preached that before Samson lost his strength, before he lost his freedom, before he lost his ministry, he'd already lost his vision. Spurgeon with thunder to that crowd preaching to, he said, a preacher who cannot see clearly is a danger to himself and to others. And amen goes right there. And here's the tragedy. Samson had preached with his strength, but he had neglected his soul. He fought enemies on the outside while coddling sin on the inside. But now look at him, family. The man who once shook cities is now shackled. The man who once stood tall is now stooped over a millstone. He's walking in circles, grinding grain for the enemy that he once defeated. Spurgeon would go on to say, this is what happens when a servant of God toys with temptation. We've looked at Samson's reality. Walk around this verse with me now and let's examine Samson's restoration. Verse 22, if you're there, give me a big amen. The text says, however, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Family, as we look at this text, you and I get to see a subtle but powerful shift that takes place from verse 21 to verse 22. Now, I believe here's the part that'll make you shout. As Samson was walking in circles in that prison, something started to happen in his life. His hair began to grow. Oh, come on, don't miss that. I'm bald. Come on, talk to me. That's a good miracle in the text. Amen. That same hair that was cut off when he broke his vow, that same hair that symbolized his strength, his calling, and his covenant with God, it started to grow again. Family, that means grace was growing when nobody else saw it. Grace was doing her thing while the enemies were doing their thing. Grace was working in the shadows while hatred was dancing on the platform. While his enemies were laughing, while the gods were mocking, yes, God was restoring. That's grace. That's the miracle of God. That's God never giving up on his preacher in spite of everyone else giving up on them. You notice in the text, nobody comes to Samson's rescue. He's got to depend on the God who he has let down. Let me tell you something, family. When God starts restoring you, it don't always look dramatic at first. In fact, it may start in silence. It may grow slow, Brother Levi, but when God is in it, it's growing beneath the surface. Look, he may not have his eyes. He may not have his freedom, but his connection to God is growing back. I'm feeling like preaching now. Y'all ready to come on? Here's what I learned, family. Don't let your current situation make you think God has forgotten you. Just because it feels quiet doesn't mean he's not working. Somebody here, you may be in hair growing season. You don't feel flashy. You don't feel like you're in the spotlight, but your prayer life is growing. Your hunger is growing. Your maturity is growing. And when the time is right, God is going to use what he's been growing in the dark to bless you in the light. Did you catch it? I love this picture of redemption, family, because it paints for us the true heart of God and for his children whom he has called and invested his spirit into. Literally, it's the picture of God seeing you in spite of the mess you have made of your life and your witness. It's a reminder that the one who is responsible for growing your hair is paying attention to the details of your life. He's growing your gift, restoring your passion, resurrecting your ministry, giving you another chance to live for his honor and his glory. It was the great Dr. Adrian Rogers, that preacher of yesteryear, once preached a sermon on Samson. Dr. Fuller, he said something so simple yet powerful. He said, God's delays are not God's denials. And God's silence is not God's absence. What a word. And then he pointed the church to Judges chapter 16 and said, this may be the quietest verse in Samson's story, but it's the one one of the loudest sermons God ever preached. Rogers loved that word in verse 22, however. In fact, he says, the hair of his head began to grow again. Dr. Rogers said that that word means God was not finished. That however, Samson is blind, Samson is bound, Samson is broken. But while the Philistines were laughing, God was restoring. Roger said, the enemy thought the story was over, but God was just turning the page. That hair didn't grow overnight. There was no applause. There was no announcement, no press release, no dramatic moment, just quiet, steady, unseen growth. And then Dr. Rogers leaned into that sermon and said, grace often grows where pride has died. Let me say that again for the people in the back. Grace often grows where pride has died. Oh, family, that hair symbolized more than strength. It symbolized a covenant. It meant that God had not withdrawn his calling. It meant repentance had reopened the door to restoration. It meant the same God who allowed the fall was now preparing him for his finish. Rogers would go on to say in that famous sermon, God can do more with a broken man who repents than with a gifted man who resists. Samson didn't get his eyes back. He didn't get his freedom back. But what mattered most was his connection to God, and he got that back. Rogers would then lift his voice and say, never measure God's work by your circumstances, but rather measure it by his promises. That's good. Just because it's quiet doesn't mean God is idle. Just because it's slow doesn't mean it's not supernatural. You see, sometimes God is doing his best work in the dark, where nobody but him can get the glory. Rogers would close that sermon on that day to his congregation saying, when God starts restoring you, he doesn't always announce it, but he always finishes it. A good amen goes right there. I played the Samson in my life before. I know just what Dr. Rogers was preaching about. I'm a picture portrait of a God who can restore you. Can I let you in my closet for a minute? Drive-by shooter, former Crip from Los Angeles, California. Daddy was a pastor. I was a rebellious kid. Got arrested for a drive-by shooting in 1979, and I was guilty. Went to jail, but it was in jail, hallelujah, where the Lord visited your boy, saved me, came into my life, turned me around, gave me another chance. I know the Samson story. Are you listening here? When you leave here, you're going to be preaching to some Samsons. Make sure you get the story right. And today, if you're here and you're in a season where you feel hidden, if you're here, you're in a season where nothing looks impressive, if you're here and you feel like you're grinding and wondering if God sees you, take heart. Your hair may be growing. Your prayer life may be growing. Your humility may be growing. Your calling may be growing back. And when God decides it's time, what grew quietly in prison will shake the pillars in public. I'm getting ready to come down, but we've looked at Samson's reality. We've looked at Samson's restoration. Help me land the plane now as we look at Samson's redemption. Y'all gonna help me close it? The Bible says in verse 23, now the lords of the Philistines, they gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their God, and to rejoice. And here's what they said. Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. And they said, because God has brought this destroyer who destroyed our land and who's multiplied our dead, they called for Samson that he might come and perform for him. For them. And so they brought Samson out of the prison to perform for them. Let me land the plane now. I'm humping it off as I go. The Bible says, beloved, when we get to this portion of the pericope, the final glance at this narrative is worth you coming today. It's the closing curtain on the man of God's final scene. Let me show it to you. The Philistines decide to throw a party. They were turning it up in there, y'all. They packed the temple of their false god, Dagon. Can't you see them drinking, dancing? Some might even say dropping it like it was hot. And then they bring out the blind Hebrew so they can mock and make fun of him. And here comes Samson, stumbling, blind, and led by a little boy. Can't you see him, family? The man who once stood in strength, now taking the walk of shame. The swag of the warrior has fallen off. The power of his man card had been revoked. But as they mocked, Samson whispers to the lad, and he whispers to his God. Don't miss that part, because every now and then, you too will need a prayer partner to listen to your whispers at the lowest time of your ministry. One day, if you just keep living, you're gonna need a friend who will walk the last piece of the mile with you and hold your hand while you whisper a hopeful prayer to an unseen God. Don't miss that, family, because God is at work in the boy, just like he's at work in Samson. He's at work in the boy to assist the man of God of finishing well. Oh God, I was hunting for an amen right there. But in his final prayers, yes, it was the great Caesar Clark who said, he prayed, "Oh God, remember me one last time." Can I get a witness right there? The Bible says that as the boy took him to the pillars in the center of that temple, Samson leaned with all of the strength he had left in his body. And that prayer was heard by the God of heaven and earth. I feel like preaching right here. Can I help myself? That's the prayer of a man who's been redeemed. Remember me is the prayer of a man who's been forgiven. Remember me is the prayer of a man who's been reconciled back to God. Remember me is the prayer of a man who knows God and who knows the Lord's plan for his life. I'm closing now, but I'm so glad today he leaned into his assignment. Yes, he did. He leaned into the mission one more time. He leaned into the job that was given to him 20 years ago. And when he leaned, God gave power, power, power to destroy the enemy. Now, ain't that all right? I'm closing now, but I'm so glad today that God gives power to the one who called, "Come go with me to the city called Jerusalem," one Friday night on a hill called Calvary. Same God heard prayers. Same God gave power, and Jesus leaned into the ministry. They stretched him high and they dropped him low. He died, didn't he die? And with power, washed all my sins away. With power, took the sting out of death and victory over the grave. And early Sunday morning, with all power of heaven and earth in his hand, he rose, didn't he rise? And now he sits at the right hand of God, making intercession that you and I might lean into the ministries God has given us, that we might lean into the callings he's given us, that we might be faithful to the end in spite of being surrounded by the enemy. And all God's children said, amen, 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 and amen. Can I get a witness right there? Help me celebrate with this hymn. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. Come on, tell him now. We exalt thee. We exalt thee.
We exalt thee. We thank you, Jesus.
Receive this benediction from the book of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.